All right, something we do want to get further in the weeds with. Katie McFadden joins us on the phone right now. She's from the Sierra Club of Illinois. Hey, Katie, how are you this morning?
Good. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for staying up so late. We do appreciate it. I know you probably just got in from the bar like 5 minutes ago, so I appreciate you cutting your night short for us. Thanks for jumping on the phone. So, Katie, I wanted to chat with you tonight because I know Joanna Klonsky, and she I read some stuff that she had out or was quoted in, and there's this website out that I think you're a part of, too, about why are there no women running for governor in Illinois? We've got all these guys running for governor. We have no women running for governor. What's going on with that?
I think the latest tally is, what, 9 men now running for governor?
Yeah, I think so.
Changes by the day.
That's just, and that's on the Dem side. Of course, Rauner will, has a nice little war chest going, so he's seeking reelection. But yeah, 9 guys on the Democrat side, and I think 2 of which are billionaires or millionaires, right?
That's true, and I think, money in politics is definitely tied to this, so I hope we get to talk about that too. But yeah, this came about a few girls that, kind of get together sometimes that kind of also work in politics were, we were sitting down over dinner and talking about the governor's race. And I forget who exactly it was, but we kind of said, can we just take 1 minute first and talk about the fact that there are actually 0 women running for governor and how absurd that is, especially after the presidential election that we just had and the fact that it's 2017. And so that's where we kind of came up with this joke. Are there any women running for ilgovernor.com? And we, went ahead and created that website. And when you go to it, there's a big giant red no on the screen just in case you needed a reminder. So, as a way to just, it's tongue in cheek, but it felt like sort of the elephant in the room that needed to be said before, we kind of get deep into the weeds on the race itself is, there are no women running. And that indicates, I think, a problem with our democracy that needs to be collectively talked about here in the state of Illinois.
And while you're very progressive, you work with Sierra Club, and right now we need a Democrat to run because we've already got a Republican in office who's going to run again. It is a problem nationally on both sides of the aisle, isn't it?
That's so right. I mean, there's only 6 female governors in the entire United States. Only 20% of Congress are women, and thinking about, again, like you said, both sides of the aisle. But we know that this is an issue because there's just an unequal playing field. And so, with a Democratic and a political system that sort of props up one type of person and makes it a lot harder for women and people of color to run. I mean, that's just, it's clearly indicating a problem with our democracy right now.
Well, so 20% of Congress, 25% of state legislature seats, 12% of governorships, 24% of statewide elected offices, even though your last count, I think, around 50% of the population. So you say it's a problem with our democracy. What inherently is it a problem with our democracy, or is it a problem with us as a society? Do we not, because a lot of, Politico did this huge research project into why aren't women running? Why are so many women not holding offices? And a lot of it seemed to, at least some of it, right, seemed to stem from women's feelings about it. Like, oh, I don't have time because of the kids, or I'm happy in my job, or men just seem to have more, yeah, I could do that, I'll run for that. And women seem to be a little more thoughtful about these things. Let's tackle those things a little bit separately. What is the problem with our democracy?
Well, I think you said it right. So we found this, studies show that when women run, they win. They win at the same rates of men. But it is one of the major problems that we have is just a persistent dearth of female candidates, right? So there are more barriers that are put up to women, wanting to actually consider running, whether it's telling girls at a young age that they could be president or, you've probably heard the statistics that women need to be told multiple times that they would be great in elected office, whereas, the joke is men just need to look in the mirror and they think they'd make a great president. There are some of those sort of like societal things, as you mentioned, that we really do need to tackle. But, you know, when I say things like democracy, I think, you know, it because it's about representation, right? So if we're only, you know, 12% of the governorships and 20% of Congress, do we know that all of, you know, America's interests are being represented and legislated by, you know, 80%? You know, almost or nearly 80% white male Congress. It's hard to say that, but I think some of the issues that are standing in the way. I mean, one is the persistence of money in politics, and like you said, we may have a billionaire versus a billionaire in the race. And I bet, you know, I don't know if you have $1 billion and maybe would want to donate it to a female to run for office, but that may actually get a woman in the race. You know, so. Thinking about that persistence of money in politics, I think, is a big barrier. And especially, you know, there are still walls up right now that are creating, you know, an old boys club in politics. It makes it harder for women to fundraise, to get access to those connections. Yeah. To, you know, they're sort of excluded from financial circles, less women to kind of make introductions to those people who do have the money. So I think money in politics has a lot to do with this as well.
Do you think, by the way, if I had $1 billion, I'd look in the mirror and say, Matt, you got $1 billion. You'd be a great governor. Actually, if I had $1 billion, I'd probably go straight for president. Why would I even run for governor? Huh. Especially in Illinois. You got nothing but a mess here. I don't want to take that over. Do you think that Hillary Clinton is a factor in this at all? Because Hillary has been in politics forever, and she has faced such adversity. And we could have arguments over whether that's her fault or you know, the fault of the people that attack her all the time. There's probably some blame on both sides. But when women watch what Hillary has gone through, both as being the first lady, as being Secretary of State, as being a senator, and running for president twice, do you think sometimes women look at that and go, God, I don't want to go through all that?
I think that's certainly a possibility, right? It's hard to deny that running for office as a woman has very unique challenges that could be dissuading people from running, right? I mean, I think that we have sort of a double standard for women. You know, women need to be both extremely qualified, and in fact, often more qualified than their male counterparts, and we definitely saw that in the 2016 presidential election, to sort of seem like they could run for office. I think the qualified factor is also something that's very prevalent in the Illinois race for governor. You know, both women, but also I guess political leaders feeling like there's a higher bar for what women to have had to have achieved and you know, have under their belt to be qualified to run for governor. But you know, with women, you both need to be extremely qualified but likable, right? And there's sort of this gendered likability. You know, we notice women's hair and clothes more than men's, and so there's, you know, women are subject to a lot of negative and personal attacks, and in a lot of ways it doesn't sound like the most uplifting experience. And I think that's also kind of part of the idea behind this website. It's why we need to be encouraging more women to run for things like governor, you know, encouraging women in general to actually run, because like I said, when women do run, they win. And I think when we have women running, it lifts up other women. So one example I've heard recently was the city of Austin, Texas, their city council is 70% women. And, you know, we're kind of like, well, how did that happen? But when Wendy Davis was on the ballot for governor in 2014, it sort of created this sea change. So women, a lot of women also ran in 2015 or 2014, kind of being inspired by Wendy Davis. And so even though, you know, Wendy Davis didn't win, she sort of created space for all these women to run, and a lot of them did win. And then we end up with a city council with 70% women. So, you know, the need for women to get themselves on the ballot to actually go ahead and run, even, I guess, you know, when you're thinking about things like that, Hillary factor is really important.
You know, you mentioned the attacks that women go under. I think in politics today, especially in big races that a lot of money is being spent on, there's more ability for media to find things out probably than ever before, because there's so many people outside of the mainstream media with blogs and everything else. There's just so much coverage all the time that any negativity is going to find its way out there. And I wonder if for men, like you say, men look in the mirror and think, oh, I'd be a good governor. I'd be a good president. I wonder if men not let it roll off their back, but if men just don't care as much about the negativity that comes out, or are so, we're a little bit so pompous about it that we, I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think there's kind of two things there. I mean, there's definitely a confidence gap, right? And so, you know, yeah, women need to be told more frequently that they would be great if they ran for office. But, you know, they also need to be reminded that, you know, even when the attacks are, you know, being strewn at them, that they, you know, they are still qualified, and that, you know, to keep your head up. I mean, that's, again, speaking in very broad generalizations of, like,
of course,
women and men. But I think another thing is there's a lot of interesting polling around negative ads and negative campaigning, and how often when women decide to go negative and, you know, take out negative ads on their opponent, that that's perceived much more negatively by voters than if men were doing it. Does that make sense? And so sort of this double standard too around going negative in campaigns.
Well, there's a huge double standard with most things with men and women, right? I mean, there still is definitely in our society. We look at women differently than we look at men. And Katie, I don't mean to say anything bad here, but part of that is your fault too. You know what I mean? Women are so freaking hard on women. It's amazing how women will, you know, be, women attack Hillary just as hard as men do, I feel like. And like Heidi Stevens here at the Tribune has written articles about how she gets so much hate mail about her hair and the picture of her hair in the newspaper. And a lot of it comes from women. Women have to, and listen, we have all sorts of issues with men. I'm not minimizing that at all. But women have to lift each other up more in a lot of ways too, don't they?
I think that's true. I think that, you know, I found personally being a woman that works in politics, and, you know, there's not a whole ton of us even still, that my, you know, relationships and support from other women who are in the same field are something that's really important for me, and can kind of help, can help when things are tough. And so I think, yeah, women supporting women is obviously the case. And then, you know, something else is the role of men, you know, and you spoke to this, but we need progressive men, you know, both who are established in their careers, but also young progressive men to be advocates as well. And so I think, you know, often when we talk about this topic, you know, men may get defensive, like, oh, I voted for Hillary, or I've given money to women candidates, and all of that is so great. And we need that. We need men supporting women just as we need women supporting women. But there's also, you know, there are next steps. So, you know, have you ever mentored a young woman who's getting started in her career? You know, I think that's something that's really important. And that's something I've had in my career is, you know, a man who has been willing to kind of open doors and you know, help me create relationships with, you know, definitely women, but also men in this field as well. And that can be a really, really important thing. So, yeah, I think both men and women kind of thinking about what their role is in helping support, you know, to make sure that we do have a more representative government.
And one of the pieces I read here, it said that, you know, there's no good Democratic farm system. I imagine the same thing on the Republican side. But, there's no good tools for helping women get involved and get started and get going. So how does that change? What can you do? And what are you guys trying to do to encourage more women to start running?
Well, I think there's a few levels, right? So one is naming it, which I think we've started with here. And then the second is, yeah, we are calling on the Democratic Party of Illinois to recognize that this is an issue and help create that pipeline. You know, more training for women, more training and outreach for women and for people of color to get into politics, to be supported by the current system, to be trained, to have that access to fundraising and capital and resources. Those are all things that we need if we really want to build the party that I think that we want and need to be here in Illinois. So that's an important piece of this, and we're hopeful that that's something that will come out of this effort.
It's too late, probably, for a woman to really run for governor of Illinois. I mean, one could, but it's such a crowded, crazy field. Now, I guess you would definitely stand out, but I'm imagining that you're not thinking somebody's going to step forward at this point and run for governor this time around.
I don't know. I don't think so. But I think one thing to note here is, you know, the effort behind this was not necessarily to propel a woman into the race because it was fairly late, but it was sure. to kind of call this out as an issue, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing can be more harmful to women than Bruce Rauner, right? And so I think collectively, we need, that is sort of mission number one, right? Is like we need someone in the governor's mansion who is going to fight for women and fight for women's rights. I think that has still been yet to seen from the Democratic field. I don't think any of the candidates quite yet are really speaking to women and necessarily their platform on women. So I'm eager to hear that as the months unfold and we see more of their platforms. But yeah, I think that women are obviously an important electorate. And, you know, while one may not be running for governor for this year, I'm hopeful that we'll have a female governor in Illinois pretty soon.
Lisa Madigan a few years ago was being pushed a little bit to run for governor, and she said she was not going to do that while her dad was in office. Would a son have ever publicly decided not to run for office because of his dad's position, do you think?
Oh, wow, that's such an interesting question. I've never considered that. I don't know. I think obviously there is a lot of baggage there. I think Lisa Madigan would be a great candidate for governor. But yeah, I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah, with her dad and his position and the fight he has with Governor Rauner, it might be there might be too much baggage for her to carry into that race. But
like a tricky time.
It is a tricky time, absolutely. If her dad wasn't Mike Madigan, it might be a different story on whether she could win or not and things like that. But I do think it's very interesting that she decided she wouldn't run while he's in office. You know, because you don't see like. But Rob Blagojevich had family in office. That doesn't stop him. The Dailies all have families in offices. That it doesn't stop anybody else, it seems like. And so maybe she made that decision for other reasons too. But to say, well, my dad's in office, I'm not going to do it, seems like something that a guy wouldn't have done.
Yeah, you could certainly make that case. You know, one thing I really appreciate again about the Attorney General is that she has been a big advocate for women and for women running for office. I heard her speak a couple weeks ago and she was very poignant. She said, I think it's brutal and it's unfair, but it's totally worth it. And that was about running for office and speaking to a room full of women who were considering it. And so I thought that was, her being out there and being honest about, her struggles and journey, I think is helpful for women who are considering it and being really honest that it is hard, but yeah. That it is worth it.
Well, Katie, I have two more questions for you, but I have to take a break and get to the news. Can you stay up just a little bit longer?
Oh yeah, I'll be here.
All right. Excellent. Hold on one second. Katie McFadden from the Sierra Club of Illinois and the website, which does have some information on what you can do and what women can start doing to get involved, is are there any women running for ilgovernor.com? It's a little long, might take you a second to type, but are there any women running for Illinois, just IL, for ilgovernor.com? Check that out. We'll have more with Katie after the news, which is next on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. We're live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here in the historic Tribune Tower, chatting with Katie McFadden from the Sierra Club of Illinois. Katie, real quick, let's jump to this. Tell me a little bit about the Sierra Club of Illinois and what you guys are working on right now.
Sure, would be happy to. So here in Illinois, the Sierra Club is kind of a unique environmental organization because we have just a number of members. We have almost 100,000 members and supporters across the state. So we're really a grassroots environmental organization. Main things we're working on here in Chicago, we are working to move beyond fossil fuels and try and get the city to commit to a goal of 100% clean energy. This is something that cities across the country are doing right now, and we think Chicago should be a leader and take that leap and commit to that goal and try to figure out how to get there. We're working on a lot of issues around clean water, protecting our Great Lakes, especially from threats from the Trump administration, but also from threats like invasive species and trying to protect our streams all across the city. And then we do a lot of outdoor programs, trying to get kids out in nature and taking folks on hikes and all things like that. And then part of my job is I run all of our political work. So we're the only environmental PAC in the state, and we make endorsements and try to elect people that are great on the environment.
When you say you want Chicago to grow 100% clean energy, that would be a goal. That's not achievable as we stand right now with current technology that's available without a city going more bankrupt than it already is it?
No. So, yeah, this is about setting a goal and trying to figure out how we get there. You know, this technology and clean energy is changing so extremely rapidly. I mean, solar is now cheaper than coal and almost cheaper than natural gas in many places around the country. So we're really seeing a clean energy boom right now. So what we're hoping to do is set that as a goal and try to figure out how to get there. We could get a big chunk of the way there already right now with existing technology, and try to get there along the way while making sure that we're providing jobs and creating jobs right here in Chicago rather than just bringing energy in, you know, from out of state.
Solar is cheaper right now, but it's still less predictable, right? I mean, here in, I would imagine solar is an incredibly good option in Nevada and Arizona, places like that. Here in Chicago, is solar, we couldn't do it on solar alone, could we?
You know, it's technology here is changing. And I think one way to think about this is solar is a huge source of energy in Germany, and we're about the same sort of, you know, latitude and as they are. And so, would we do it on solar alone? Probably not. I think it would be a mix of technologies. One of the emerging technologies we're really excited about learning more about would be offshore wind. This would be actually wind turbines out in Lake Michigan. Has huge potential to generate a whole lot of electricity and really close to where it's needed most, right? Because you can generate it close to population centers rather than just, you know, down in cornfields of central Illinois. So it's something that also is emerging in Europe, and we'd be excited to figure out how we could do it right here in Chicago.
But there'll be a lot of pushback on that too, right? Because offshore turbines, people don't like that idea. That battle has been fought elsewhere, right? Is it overseas that I'm thinking of, or where is it that there's been a battle about putting some offshore?
It was mentioned a few years ago up in Evanston. There was a big push on it. And, you know, we're the Sierra Club, so we care deeply about the environmental issues here, right? We want to be involved because we want to make sure it's in a way that is protecting the lake and is, you know, is not harming the environment. People worry about the view issue, right? Yeah. They don't want to see it. And yeah. I get that, right? You know, the modeling we've seen is if it was just 5 miles offshore, which is probably about the place that we would start, at least if you hold your thumb out to the, you know, kind of give a thumbs up to the lake and kind of squint one eye, the turbine would only be 1/3 of your thumbnail tall. So, and most days you wouldn't even be able to see it at all. And that's because a lot of the pollution coming from Indiana actually kind of hazing the view. So,
wow. You know, blaming Indiana for, aren't we creating enough pollution to cause some haze?
We are, well, right, not right here in Chicago, but, you know, all those factories that kind of do blow that haze and do contribute to air pollution issues here. So, you know, we think there's a way we can, you know, do it in the right way. And so we'd be interested in exploring that.
Interesting. Okay. So when we talk about the lack of women running, and we talk about there's no good farm system, there's no good progress. So what can people do to try to encourage that? You talked about males need to mentor young women and things like that. But what is something somebody could do tomorrow to try to encourage more women to start running for office?
You know, tell women that you know that you think would be great and are qualified that they should consider it. You know, I think the stat that woman needs to be told 7 times, I mean, be one of those 7. Encourage people who should think about this, and, you know, tell them why they're great. Another thing would be contributing to female candidates. You know, like I said, the influence of money in politics is real. And so, you know, finding those women who are extremely qualified or maybe that you know, and helping them, you know, whether it's with a contribution or connecting them with other folks that you know, that stuff really can go a long way.
Well, the women that I know in general that I think should be doing this are the Katie McFadden's and Joanna Klonsky's and Erica Wozniak's of the world, and they're not running. So what about you or Joanna or Erica? Why are you not running for office, Katie? And I don't mean like, oh, you should be doing it if you're talking about it. But you're somebody who is so politically active and involved in these things. Have you thought about running for office?
You know, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I, along with, you know, so many women in America were, you know, deeply affected by the 2016 election and, you know, what happened and sort of where we thought our country was going and, you know, am feeling inspired around the need for women to run. Right now I'm taking that energy and, you know, doing what I can to encourage other women, whether it's with the website or on a one-to-one basis. And if, you know, I'm trying to do what makes the most sense for you know, contributing to this movement right now. And if at some point that feels like I need to put my hat in the ring, I think I'm not eliminating that as a possibility. But for now, I'm just telling all the great women that I know that they should run.
See, but that's the problem. If all the great women are just telling each other they should run and nobody's doing it, like you said, the guys would look in the mirror and go, yeah. The guys would all be in the room arguing about, no, it should be me, no, it should be me, no, it should be me. And then you guys are all just, you really ought to because you're great. And then nobody's doing it. Come on, come on, come on. Got to get some of you girls running and doing these things because I worry that it's, you know, they say you are the fairer sex and you know, that sounds sexist and all, but it's true. Like you guys are too nice about these things at times that you're just, you know, you're encouraging other women to run when maybe you or Joanna or somebody should just be going out and doing it. That's what we're, you know, we're wasting time with finding the right people when the right people are right there in the room.
Look, I don't disagree, and I think in the next few years you will see a lot of those people starting to jump in the ring. I think, you know, we're hearing about it now as it is approaching election season.
Is there any do the Democratic parties or the Republican parties, do they have councils or forums to help raise new candidates and to raise diverse candidates and female candidates and things like that? Or does neither party do a good job of that at all because it's mostly a bunch of white guys and they like to keep it that way?
You know, there are certainly efforts along those lines. I know more about the ones on the Democratic side than the Republican, and I think those are really needed. I think they need to be bigger and stronger and bringing in more women and actually more diverse women as well, so that, you know, they actually are representing the women of the state. So, you know, some of these programs exist in small numbers. I think what we need to see, though, is a Democratic Party that we're hearing is, you know, proclaiming that they're committed to this and putting some real effort behind it in a really concerted way.
Are you worried that, because, I mean, clearly everybody that's been listening to this interview knows that you are very progressive, that you're very unhappy with the Trump administration and all that's fine. Are you worried, though, that Democrats, as we head into the midterms coming up not that long away, are going to miss a big opportunity because of, you know, the way the Trump administration has gone so far? Here's this huge opportunity to win a bunch of races, retake the Senate, retake the House. Are the Democrats doing enough to put themselves in a position to win the races they need to win to get power back?
Here's my fear is, you know, in 2016, we ran against Trump, and in 2018, we can't just run against Trump again. You know, I think being the party of not him didn't work. And I think if we do that again in 2018, shame on us. I think the Democrats, in the state and in the country need to figure out what we're for and run on that, because I do think our values and our policies are better and are what our country needs. And I think we need to be articulating that, and that's going to win the hearts and minds of voters across the state and across the country. But if we keep focusing on how bad he is, I fear that we're not going to get there.
It's going to be interesting, to say the least. Katie McFadden is with the Sierra Club of Illinois. Illinois.sierraclub.org is their website. If people want to find more information about how to help women run for office, is there a good place to direct them to, Katie?
Well, first you should go to aretherewomenrunningforisle.com. We have a few resources on that website. You know, She Should Run, Emily's List. These are great organizations that are doing this work to help prop up women who are thinking about it. So check out them. run for office, support women. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Are there any women running for ilgovernor.com? You can follow Katie on Twitter at Katie McFadden, M-C-F-A-D-D-E-N, at Katie McFadden. That's K-A-D-Y. And you could tweet her and yell at her that she should run for office as well. Katie, thank you so much for staying up so late with us. I hope we talk again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You have a great weekend. Katie McFadden with the Sierra Club of Illinois. And it is an issue. There are not enough women running, not only here in Illinois, but nationally, way underrepresented. As we were saying earlier in the interview, women represent 20% of Congress, 25% of state legislature seats, 12% of governorships, only hold 24% of statewide elected offices like attorney general, lieutenant governor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as Katie said, when women run, they win. We just need to get more of them running. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN.